Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Going to go to the phones here, bringing on somebody that I've had the honor of knowing for several years. John Rogers is a native Alabamian, worked with me in politics and then went on to work in Montgomery. And then from Montgomery, got picked up to work with Signal, which is spelled C-Y-G-N-A-L, Signal Polling and Analytics. And he is now in D.C. doing national level work. And they are one of the most reputable pollsters out there. Great reputation, good company, Alabama-based, but now national in scope. And so, yeah, John Rogers, pollster with Signal Polling. How you doing, my brother?
Phil, great to be on with you. You know, it's 181 days until the presidential election, but who's counting? 6 months away, and, you know, it feels like the speed is getting ramped up to nine, and, you know, it's been a crazy election cycle already.
Well, it has. I think it's made crazier by the personalities, by the lawfare, by the shenanigans. You know, it's by the age of the candidates. I mean, there is so much for y'all to poll right now. I'm fascinated by this. So, what I'd love to hear is whether it be yours or referencing other, you know, major polling outfits. What trends are you seeing? Where are we going with this thing, according to what the people are saying right now?
Sure. Well, what we have right now is we have two really well-known quantities, right, in Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And these, you know, voters know who they are. And that's why I think even with the difference, you know, they have the jury trial that's going on in Manhattan and there, you know, other legal cases surrounding former President Trump. But even with all of that going on the ballot, Trump is still ahead of Biden. In our last national survey, which we just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago, Trump has got a 2-point lead over Biden in the national election. So, you know, these trials that are being conducted, there could be some things that come out that may hurt Trump with certain voter groups, but I don't think it's going to have quite as much of an effect as some of the commentators expected 6 months or even a year ago.
Well, that's kind of been the way it's been perceived. I mean, I know that the mainstream media really wants this to be the downfall. If you watch The View, every time the courtroom doors are opened, somehow another Trump falls 3 points in the polls. But it's not really panning out that way. In fact, it almost seems like it's endearing him to people in some ways.
I think if you're a Republican voter, you already know what you feel about Trump. And even for a lot of those independents, like we said, they already have a pretty well-formed opinion of President Trump. And, you know, the issue set that's out there right now as far as the things that are really mattering to voters, we've seen, so we do a national survey every month, and what we've seen over the last 4 to 5 months is illegal immigration has climbed as a top priority for voters over the last, you know, 5 to 6 months. And
yeah.
So inflation is still the top priority for voters. 27% of voters nationally said that inflation in the economy is their top priority. But actually, illegal immigration has now risen to be number two. And yet 25% of voters who are saying that illegal immigration, you know, is their top priority for, you know, men over the age of 55. It's their top priority. For Republicans, it's their top priority. But even for independents, it's the second highest priority that they have. And that's an issue that, you know, what's happening now is that President Biden and the White House, they're trying to say, oh, well, there was this bill a month ago that Senator Lankford and a couple of other Republicans were involved in, and it was this bipartisan bill, but then other Republicans scuttled it, and it would have solved the border crisis. Voters don't believe that.
Yeah.
Because voters understand that the left has really never been serious about border security.
Well, I think that's a given. I mean, I would hope so. Every once in a while, I get worried about whether or not there's some, you know, what I would call a low information voter out there who's just picking up the sound bites and going with it. But the truth is, I think most people are seeing a story that has now become viral in and of its own right. Every state is now a border state. Every community is now a border community, it feels like. And the level of strain upon the systems is being felt by people left and right. And then when you have things like Lake and Riley being murdered over in Georgia, by an illegal alien, you look at it and go, good gosh, how would anybody miss this story? So you're telling me that's the impactful thing right now in the campaign season.
Right. That's the thing. That's the issue that has really risen to the top. And again, it's not just for Republican primary voters, right? So like we poll all the time in a lot of different states, in congressional races and races for U.S. Senate and obviously the presidential race. And for Republican voters, immigration has been the top priority for a long time. But really what you're starting to see is that you're starting to see a number of independents, especially independents over the age of 50, 55. And those people turn out to vote usually. And that they're a lot more concerned about immigration than they used to be. And that's something that is very difficult for the White House, because you have a progressive, young, urban base that on issues like immigration or on issues like the campus protests or the war between, Palestine, Hamas, and Israel, the White House can't triangulate on that. Or I guess they could, but they're choosing not to.
Yeah.
And so they're getting pulled really far to the left. And, you know, if they were just a little bit more moderate on some of these issues, they could pick up some support. But that's not where they're headed at all.
Well, so let me ask you a couple of things about where it does seem like there's other impact that are not truly, impacting Republicans much. But Democrats seem to have been hanging their hat on the idea of abortion rights. And I'm curious where you see that one right now. And then secondly, it's not an issue per se, but there's a third party candidate. RFK is in there. Who's he hurting most, Trump or Biden?
Well, let me address that second question, which is a question that everybody in the political, sphere is asking, who Kennedy will draw more from. And right now, so in our last national survey, when we did the full presidential ballot, Trump was at 42%, Biden was at 39%, and then Kennedy was at 9%. And really, we think that for Kennedy, that share, it might go up a little bit, but we think that that's probably a ceiling for him, because he's behaving like other third-party candidates have, where early in the cycle, people will give a lot of consideration, but then as you get closer and closer, as November comes closer and closer, it's more likely that those voters are going to say, I really have a tough time actually pulling the lever for an independent candidate. But to your question, he's polling usually a little bit more Democrat voters than he is Republican voters.
Yeah.
Now, things have shifted somewhat the last couple of months. And so I think if you're Trump's camp or if you're Biden's camp, you can't be really too relaxed about the influence that he could have on the ballot, because it's just, he's a pretty idiosyncratic candidate. You know, if you're on X, Twitter, you see people like Elon Musk retweeting his stuff, but then, he'll say something about abortion, and it's pretty clear he's no conservative.
Yeah. Well, and look who he picked for his VP. He picked an extremely liberal from California for a VP. All right, man, what do you think about abortion? Where are we seeing that in the polls?
So this is it's really interesting, because this has become a state issue in a lot of ways, obviously, with the Dobbs decision. And there's a number of different states around the country. Right now, it's going to be probably between 6 and 9 states that they'll have some kind of ballot initiative or some kind of constitutional amendment in that state. So a really good example here is Florida. Florida recently passed an abortion ban that would begin at 6 weeks. And so you've had some liberal pro-abortion, pro-choice groups that have worked hard to get enough signatures on, they've crossed the qualifying threshold for signatures in Florida. So there will be really an extremist abortion access amendment that will be on the ballot in Florida.
Wow.
And in Florida, you have to have 60% of the vote, 60% vote yes, in order to pass that constitutional amendment. So, how it shakes out in Florida, I don't think it's going to affect the presidential ballot that much. And, Florida is not the swing state that it was during the days of Bush v. Gore, the 2000 election. But in some other states like Arizona, there's a good chance that there's going to be also an abortion access amendment in Arizona that will be on the ballot. And that could be something that would gin up some enthusiasm among some of the younger, kind of more progressive voting crowd for sure. But, it's an issue that is really kind of a state-by-state thing. And there are some states where the pro-life camp is very well organized, and it has done a really good job at saying, like, look, this is what you're being told, but it's actually much more of an extremist amendment than what the pro-choice camp is saying. And then there are some states where the pro-life community is not as well organized, obviously to its own detriment.
Well, that's fascinating. All right, let me ask you this. We got a couple minutes left. What about battleground states? Where is the true battleground? Is Trump going to grab anything that Biden had last time? Is there a battleground that we should be eyes on right now because it could swing the entire campaign?
Yeah, I think the states that you really want to pay attention to are the upper Midwest states of Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Those are three states that you really want to pay attention to. And then a couple of other states that you could throw in would be Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And I think Georgia, actually, I feel pretty good about that compared to where we were in 2020 or even in 2022. Governor Kemp has done a great job as the chief executive of that state. I think things are in a good position that Trump would win Georgia if the election were held today and Republicans at the state legislative level would do well. But those other states, Pennsylvania is really key for Biden. If Biden does not win Pennsylvania, it is going to be very difficult for him to win the election because of the way that the Electoral College math breaks out. And, you know, Pennsylvania, I think it's got 29 electoral votes, if I recall correctly. So Pennsylvania, I would say, would be the state that you really want to pay attention to. Michigan and Wisconsin, there are very competitive U.S. Senate races that are going to be going on in the general election as well that will have an impact in the presidential race. I would say of those states, I think Wisconsin is probably the toughest reach for the GOP and for Trump, but it's still definitely in play, and that's partly why the RNC is holding their summer convention in Milwaukee. I think it's in June.
Wow. All right. That's just fascinating to me. And by the way, thank you for making time for us today. I really appreciate that. I'm gonna kick off a little bit more material on my own after this next break. But John Rogers with Signal Polling, that's CYGNAL, Signal Polling. Hey, do me a favor. Tell Brent Buchanan I said hello. All right.
We'll do. Phil, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, John. We'll see you. All right, man. I mean, listen, he is neck deep in it. I mean, the guy is geeking on numbers every single day. And I love the fact that they are nationally known now. I've seen Brent Buchanan has been on Fox News and others. Brent Buchanan is the guy who started the company. Used to deal with him down in Montgomery all the time and talk to him down there. Great guy. Loves the Lord. Good dude. And John Rogers actually ran my campaign. He got into politics right here in Gadsden working my campaign. And now he's up in D.C. doing national stuff. Very cool. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back and do more about By the Numbers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making conservatism look good, man. All right, listen, we're doing By the Numbers. I just had John Rogers from Signal Polling on to give us a national view. They're polling races all over the nation, so they combine these things. It's not like they did one poll, when they start polling, you know, congressional races here and Senate races there and presidential campaign there and even local races in some places, when they do this stuff around the nation, they got some questions that go across the board, and they're able to get a pretty large, you know, swath of people to sort of figure where things are. Let me tell you this one. I pulled this off of 538. So 538 is one of those sites you can go to get data. It's very cool. So 538, if you want to see 538.com, you got to spell the words out, 538. But I've got a copy of the what they call the fave unfave, the favorables. When you are a candidate being polled, a lot of times they'll look at, there's different parts of it. Sometimes you just hear what's called the top lines. Well, Biden's polling at 42%. You know, you hear those top lines. What you don't usually hear about are what they call the crosstabs. That's when people can deep dive in there. Okay, you see how he's doing with this demographic? Yeah, but that age group, that's a big one. Pick them up. You know, the crosstabs tell you all the nitty gritty. And then you get what's called the fave unfave. Okay, that's fine, but what are his favorables? How is he doing in the eyes of the people right now? They may be thinking about voting for him, but do they even like him? That's a big deal. Because if you find out their unfave is really, you know, hurting, you can begin to press more of the unfavorable stories and hopefully push that in the other direction. All right, all that to say, Biden's unfave or his favorables are lower than every president since they've been recording this stuff. I mean, I'm talking about going back 100 years. I've got them all right here. That's interesting. By the way, just so you know, at this time in his presidency, Trump was favorable 44%. Biden, 38.1%. So Biden's at 38. Trump was at 44 at this time. Okay. George W. Bush was at 47. Okay. George H.W. Bush was at 39. So he's barely, you know, underneath George H.W. Bush. But Jimmy Carter, what we used to think was the worst president in modern history, was actually at 43 at this time in his presidency. Biden is at 38. Then you look around and find a few others. How about Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon, I mean, the guy who resigned his presidency? Yeah, he was at 53 at this point. Wow. 53, Biden's at 38. And then you go up and take a look at some others. How about this? Barack Obama. Well, that was the administration that Joe Biden was a part of. That was his boss, right? He was Veep for that guy. Obama was at 48. Biden's at 38. He is 10 points below the previous administration where he was the number two man. What? How do you do that? How do you say, that was my team right there? We were the Super Bowl champions, and next year you can't even play on the same field. Ronald Reagan, at this point in his presidency, was at 52. Biden's at 38. The only one that he is pretty much tied with, he and Gerald Ford are tied. If you remember, Gerald Ford was a one-term presidency who followed the resignation of Richard Nixon. He had nowhere to go but up, and he couldn't get there fast, but he decided not to run for re-election, and he stepped away, and Biden is polling the same as him. Y'all, Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1953 was at 70%. By golly. Biden, almost half of that, 38. That's the numbers. I got more of those when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That would be our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers, like I said, a lot of ground across North Alabama. Places like Gadsden, Anniston, Etowah, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Every single one of them open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I like to say it's from pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see them all. And I will be honest with you, this is who I use personally. It is. And I am proud of it. In fact, I don't use them because they advertise. I was already using them. And I was so impressed with how clean and friendly and professional they were that I went to them and said, would you consider advertising? Because I could absolutely brag on this. And they said, we absolutely will. And so here we are. So yeah, Southern Immediate Care. If you need attention, medical attention, even on a Saturday morning, you just, I tell you what, just look them up, find the location nearest to you, head on down there. And while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Southern Immediate Care. So I'm in it's number two of the Triple Dipper, because it's going to be a two-dipper day, dude. Two-dipper day. That's 2 days in a row, it's two dippers. That's okay. It means we got good dipper content. They were dippers that were slopping over with content, filled up with stuff. I'm still in by the numbers. So just so as you know, the deep concern that the Biden administration has for the level of unfavorable ratings that I just read to you a minute ago has clearly given them grounds to get into what we call do no harm mode. That's where they are right now. They're in do no harm mode. Oh my gosh, you can't let the man go out and give a speech. He might do some harm, but he's campaigning. How does he not give a speech? Well, you can't let him speak for long then. Okay, what do you propose we do? Make them shorter. Don't let him get off script. Try not to have those moments where he's walking up on the stage and doesn't know where he is. Make sure somebody's with him at all times. And for God's sakes, would you please surround him with people when they're walking to Marine One so they can't see how he kind of walks like a robot? That's really embarrassing. So all this stuff is happening. Here, it's official now, though. The talking heads are out there. The pundits, the surrogates are now out there saying this is intentional. Townhall.com has a piece. The Biden 2024 playbook was predictable, it says, given the president's penchant for being a gaffe machine. So his staff are now aiming to shorten his speeches, stressing what they call quality over quantity. Well, that's so good. Quality over quantity. Says they're calling it the less is more approach, aiming for quality over quantity when it comes to the president's public appearances. The approach also has the appearance of a strategy aimed at minimizing the potential for him to make mistakes in the middle of a razor-thin election. So they've seen the polls. If he was doing great, if his favorables are so high that all they needed was another rally, don't you think they'd do it? Yeah, but they're not. They're getting into do-no-harm mode because every time he goes out there, it's a gaffe. This is not, by the way, this is not the kind of campaign that says, we got this in the bag. Let's set back and do less and enjoy our lead. No, this is called, every time we go out there, we drop a point. Can we please stop? But then you got this. Washington Examiner, corroborating what we just heard from our friend John Rogers from Signal Polling a little while ago. Dateline 2 days ago. A new ABC News Ipsos poll shows Biden and Trump are still neck and neck. Trump leads Biden, though, concerning the three topics that are considered to be the most important to the voters: the economy, inflation, and safety from crime. So that's interesting. So when they take things into their averages, when they consider what, you know, surefire voters are going to do, they are finding it very close. Within the margin of error, we like to say. So in polling, you have the margin of error. They may say it's 50 to 50, but the margin of error is plus or minus 2, meaning it really could be 52-48. In other words, there's a swing in there somewhere. But in this particular case, we are literally last Sunday was 6 months from the election. Whoop, whoop, we're 6 months away from being done with this for a while. I hope. 6 months. God help us. But 6 months right now, they're saying this new poll shows 46% for Trump, 44% for Biden. But what that doesn't include is RFK Jr. They apparently did not poll RFK Jr. I question why that would be. If he got 46-44, I mean, you're literally looking at, well, I guess maybe they did. Maybe they just left by. I guess they left RFK. Okay, so maybe they did. I take that back. It appears that we may have the numbers. What is that? 40, 80. Okay, we're right at 90. Okay, there's 10% unaccounted for. I don't know if that was 10% undecided, which often happens, or if we're looking at 10% going towards RFK Jr. By the way, in a close election, that 10% can mean everything. Biden is apparently more trusted than Trump in the polls. Get this. All right. What would you think would be his number one topic? Abortion. They trust him more on abortion. Okay. And they trust him more on topics of health care. Okay. But the things that people care about the most, the economy, inflation, and safety from crime. And by the way, I question this poll because we know for a fact that the number one thing has been border security, and that's not even listed here. So Washington, ABC News, Ipsos poll, questionable, but I think it does indicate that Biden knows his unfavorables are not good. Here's a couple more things, though. This is an interesting article. I pulled this one off of Red State. It appears that Biden is having trouble with women. No, not like that. We're talking about he's having trouble with polling with women. Says Joe Biden has not been doing well in the polls. His team seems to be trying to think of all kinds of strategies. The latest was that they were going to cut short his speeches. Yeah. They claim that less was more, quality over quantity. Okay. But what they're also saying is he's getting ratioed with women. Huh. That's interesting. And a part of that is because he's doing things like Title IX protection. He's wiping out women's sports by letting transgenders be in girls' sports as a matter of official policy from his administration. He's also, you know, doing things like, you know, hosting transgenders on the White House lawn and then pretending it's all okay. And women don't cotton to this. They don't want to walk into their locker room and find out that the thing that the president said was okay is actually happening to them while they're in their locker room at the gym. And so, yes, right now what we're looking at is the Biden administration is losing ground with women voters. So right now, Rasmussen came out with a new poll. And if it's accurate, it says that Biden is toast with women, according to this article. It has Trump up with women by 11. Wait, but I thought Trump was the misogynist. I thought Trump was on trial with the porn star. I thought Trump was, like, evil to women. No, right now what we're seeing is Trump is up with women by 11 over Biden, 47 to 36. That's a whopping, whopping difference. And when you factor in all the other people running, Rasmussen says that that includes the elusive and exclusive suburban women contingent. It's amazing the demographics they break down for this stuff, but it's true. Last thing, I got a couple more here, and I'll wrap this up. By the numbers, right? We're looking at one here from Gallup. Gallup is saying that confidence in Biden's economic stewardship is at a historic low. You think? And Big Rig and I are sitting here. We know what it costs to buy bacon right now. I mean, all of y'all do. Charlene goes to the grocery store. She comes back, and every single time she'll tell me, "You won't believe." Well, I probably will, but tell me anyway. And it's every time. You can go there, and you can have one bag in your hand, and it's $75. And you're looking at it going, why? I bought coffee and bread and eggs and bacon, and I'm literally all I'm doing is making breakfast, and it was $75. Used to be you can go to a restaurant cheaper than you can go to the grocery store. Not no mo. Or vice versa. But no, now it's looking rough. Well, confidence in his stewardship of the economy, not so good. 46% of U.S. adults say they have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence in Trump to do or recommend the right thing for the economy, while fewer say the same of Biden at 38%. He's 46 to 38. Y'all, this is... Right now, the numbers are trending the right way. All they can hope to do at this particular moment is do stuff like what they did today. Put a porn star on the stand and try to get her to say some salacious things. And apparently they did. I thought the judge had stopped it, but Charlene texted me and said, no, he only stopped it after he got a bunch of stuff in there. It was a smear campaign. It's right up there with, you know, trash talk and negative campaigning. What they're trying to do is create sound bites that they can use to make women not want to vote for him. You know, he hangs out with porn stars. The porn star's a woman, right? She's making a lot of money off this, right? She's getting paid for everything, apparently, right? She broke the contract, right? Do you trust the porn star? Anyway, that's where we are. That is the numbers. That's a lot. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. Last break of the day. We'll do that. We'll come right back. I got some text messages to catch up on. It looks like the update on Israel and Palestine is going to wait till tomorrow, blowing the shofar. But it's a good one. I will bring it back tomorrow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I got to tell you, you hear those ads playing during the break, right? Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. The stations you might be listening to us on right now, they don't own us. We actually send them our show. Well, just like any other business, we got to support our operations, and part of the way we do that is by selling ads. So think about it. If you're a Right Side ruffian and you've got goods and services, well, we've got all our stations combined, say we've got way over 30,000 Right Side ruffians who listen every week. You might want to know you got a major captive audience right here who would love to buy from another ruffian. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we'd love to have you. You go to the website, rightsideradio.org. There's a place on there where it says advertising and contact. Just send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will be in touch with you ASAP. And we'd love to get you on the team. rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. Advertise on Right Side. I got a bunch of text messages. Oh, the grades are in. Phil, your fantastic performance earns you an A+, but you did not earn any extra credit points today, which means today's winner is Big Rig with an A++ because he earned 10 extra credit points. Congratulations. Also, just want to say, since Big Rig does an awesome job on his Taco Tuesday sound effect, I think you need to have Fried Fish Mondays, and Big Rig can create an awesome Fried Fish sound effect. We do that just for Jeff from Indiana. Just have the horn going, because he finds fried fish.
Yeah. I think he's the only one that's going to enjoy that one.
That and the pickled eggs. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee. Polls don't mean much if Democrats pack the ballot box with dead people ballots. There's that. Ballot integrity and election security. That means a lot. Pete from Decatur. Why hadn't Trump sued Daniels for breach of contract since she violated the NDA? He needs to go on a little offense, I think. Well, they were in court. And I believe it was actually a defamation case. He could potentially sue her for breach of contract, I'm supposing. I don't know the terms of their agreement, but here's the thing. At some point, you kind of want to step back and not constantly be in the ring with a porn star. So it may be one of those things where people look at it and go, does the big billionaire really feel the need to sue the porn star? And I get the whole offense thing. Go wear him out. He basically already beat her really badly in that defamation case, so much so that she owes him hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees because of the way it went. Jim from Gunnersville. Thank you, Jim. I have not yet, but thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Joe from Elkmont sent me a link. Says, when you get a chance at a minute 42, this is okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Gary from Decatur says, I can't say I believe this polling is very accurate, as Biden is the worst candidate in recent memory. Obviously, this polling company has been reliable in the past, but I would question the people they are sampling as being true representative of the electorate. I've had many calls and texts from polling entities that I purposely ignore, as too many of them are for donations or a political agenda, and I'm sure I'm not alone. Oh, listen, I'm guilty of the same thing. I'm getting spammed out the wazoo right now on my phone, and a lot of them are like, I'm so-and-so running for Senate in Utah. Would you support my campaign? No. Click stop to end. Thomas from Athens says, since immigration is number one on voter agendas, how will the $5 billion included in foreign aid law, which enables two... Listen, all right, you're going like, in order to process Gaza evacuees directly into U.S. cities like those... Okay, I don't know. I guess what you're telling me here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, is that we've got Gazan refugees that they're talking about bringing back in, even at a time when illegal immigration is considered to be number one. I do believe it's going to be a really, really, really bad idea for Biden to do that. Not just because it's a bad idea, because it's going to poll as a bad idea. So I tend to agree with you. We don't want to see Palestinians imported. I had a whole thing the other day where I talked about that just being importing crime and poverty. That's all it is. You're importing more crime and poverty. Jay from Hartzell, my hope is that Trump wins these court cases and then is reelected and then takes the high road. Don't go after everyone who's come after him and show the world how the office of the president should be used. I can understand why he would want his revenge, but it has to stop somewhere. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of folks that are saying, Democrats, you are opening up a whole can of something you don't want to mess with because one day the tables are going to turn. And I would hope that that would not be the case. I would love to see some decorum returned to our politics. I'm all for doing what you got to do to get her done. But right now, the polarization and the lawfare and the cheating and the rancorous rhetoric right now, I'm ready. I'm ready for a break from it. Tom from Huntsville, I got it. Thank you. Jeff from Indiana said, I think Joe Biden should be arrested the moment he's no longer president for stealing classified documents when he was a senator. Clearly had no authority. Well, there you have it, Jeff. Harris from Athens says, thank you, Dems, for being stupid enemies. and then Navy Phil from Athens says, with respect to that classified documents case, Jack Smith was found to have misled the judge. I have seen that case, by the way, just today, has been suspended indefinitely. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to be reset. It may be that the judge is going to get back to them on a calendar date to re-engage. I don't think she's dismissing the case. But I think right now, the judge is a bit ticked because the the prosecutors in this particular case continue to gerrymander things to the point that they appear to be wasting the court's time. So anyway, more to come on all that. Listen, what an amazing show. All right, we started off today. My monologue, if you missed it, I would encourage you to go to the podcast and grab it. Today's monologue was called God Does Not Waste Time. And I told a personal story in there about why I could not figure out why God would, in my view, drag his feet. But it turns out he didn't. And it made things even all the better in the end because his timing is perfect. So if you didn't hear it, you can always go to the website. You can go to any one of the various podcasting places in the world. Big Rig does a great job cleaning up the audio, removing all the advertising, and posting it out there as a podcast every single night after the show's over. And that Right Side Way today, the monologue, is called God Does Not Waste Time. And I just want to encourage you, go listen to it. It's something we all need to hear once in a while. And where are we at right now? I mean, we're like at 220,000 downloads now, roughly.
Yeah, 220.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. 220? I remember when Boomer and I were doing a push-up and donut eating contest if we were going to hit 120. And
wow.
That's been a while. All right, my friends, you have an amazing night. We're back here tomorrow at 2. We'll see you then.